Hey, listeners, have you ever had patients give you an earful for using plastic pill bottles? Introducing Parcel Health's PhilBox. The PhilBox is fully biodegradable, water-resistant, and user-friendly eco-packaging for pharmacies. As pharmacists, we know containers aren't just containers. They're protectors of meds and displayers of med info. But they also are your pharmacy's daily mini billboard in a patient's home in their hands. So check out the PhilBox, see how it can fulfill your sustainability and marketing goals. Visit parcelhealth.co today and enter the keyword BizPharm with a Z for 10% off your order. Welcome to the Business of Pharmacy podcast, where we explore the business of pharmacy through candid, in-depth conversations with the industry's top leaders. Every Monday, tune in for insights and stories you won't find anywhere else. I'm your host, Mike Kelzer. Sumit, for those that haven't come across you online, introduce yourself and tell our listeners what we're talking about today.
My name is Sumit Singh. I'm the founder and CEO of Lighthouse AI. Lighthouse AI is focused on automating and enabling the compliance journey for pharma and pharmacy.
Sumit, whenever I talk to some of my kids who've either gone on in science or those that haven't, they always talk about some classes being the weed out classes. Oh, physics at Michigan Tech, that's the one that separates the men from the boys. And biochem here, that's the one that separates these fields. When I think about some of the mandates of these permits and licenses and all this kind of stuff, it almost seems like even if you had nefarious purposes, like you wanted to make some DEA fake thing up or something, you'd get so sick of all the paperwork and the forms and all that kind of stuff that you would just say, ah, screw it. And then the DEA sitting there and they get all your stuff in and they just throw it out. They say, oh, that person's good because they went through it all. We're just going to throw it out. And the ones that didn't ever send it in are the ones that are the bad guys. I'm joking, of course, but sure. Do you ever see that they make things more intricate just to weed things out?
Perhaps that could be a component of it. I really think what it is, it's more about the execution of such a thing. We've been engaged by over 700 customers to date in the last eight plus years. And what we used to do, or our approach used to be, and this is the approach that everybody else has, is you have a person and that person is in charge of understanding all the unique aspects of the company. 20 years ago, that was okay. 10 years ago, it was getting almost impossible. And today, it's definitely almost virtually impossible for somebody to keep up with all these changes on an ongoing basis. So what we do is, whether it's a new company or it's an existing Fortune 500 company that's been around for decades or even centuries in one case, what these companies are looking for is they want to automate those, figuring out what they need to do and then making sure that it gets done. Because compliance is really only two things. It's, what do I need to do? If you're talking about drug pharmacy compliance, it's, okay, what are the registrations I need to get? What's the credentialing I need to get? What PBMs do I need to work with? What pharmacist charge licenses do I need to get? If you're talking about, like a light bulb and you're going through under UL or certification or something, it's like, what are the max wattage I need to do and how much stress does it need to take in and blah, blah, blah. ISO compliance, HIPAA compliance. What do I need to do is the first step. And then the second step is just making sure that it gets done, having policies in place and logs in place and stuff like that. And so what we did is Lighthouse AI Intelligence automated the question of what do I need to do? And so that's precisely something that we help these companies with. So if it's a pharmacy looking to do business in all 50 states, instead of manually trying to figure out what this pharmacy needs to do business on a state-by-state basis, and what is the process and how much is it going to cost and what forms do I need to fill out and can you help me fill them out? We automate all of that. And so that's the company. And so I guess that's the very long answer. The short answer was, yes, Mike, that's exactly what we help with, is all these onerous requirements that are confusing and so jurisdictional specific. We just automate it with technology.
Sumit, we hear a lot of AI now. And from my understanding, AI has gone back a long time, depending on how you define it. Now we've all seen AI with language models and so on. And so that's where we normal humans is kind of come into our face more. What does it mean when you have AI in your company? How have you embraced that and defined that?
Something really important to understand is, to us, all technology is kind of like a toolbox. There's problems that you need to solve, and then there's a toolbox in front of you. How are you going to solve this problem? So that's one thing to remember. The other thing to remember is there's different types of AI. The oldest example of AI is way back in the 1960s. They used to work through like organic samples and figure out the organic chemistry behind specific samples, using a really quick, what they call an expert system. But you fast forward a decade or two, and all of a sudden IBM has OCR, which is
optical character recognition. I used to try to use that instead of retyping stuff.
Yeah, exactly. It reads PDF documents or whatever. The iPhones have that capability now, and it's awesome. Like, you can copy text off of a picture. Then you have this other thing called NLP, natural language processing. So this webinar, you offered me a transcript that uses NLP technology, something that's been trained, a model that's been trained to learn, to hear specific words, maybe even accommodate any accents, California accent I have or Midwest accent that you might have. And now what we have is the advent with the transformer architecture, what we call generative AI or a neural network or a deep learning network. And so without getting too into the weeds, what I see in front of me is this toolbox. And I see this big problem called compliance. Compliance, like I said, we've kind of broke it up into two things. What do I need to do? And then help me get it done. And so the first problem that I'm trying to solve, what do I need to do? How do I solve that problem? Mike, I know we can't hallucinate. We can't get this stuff wrong. People's businesses are at stake. There's a lot of dollars on the line. There's reputation on the line. There's contractual compliance on the line. We cannot get it wrong. And so the tool that I used, that I picked for this first piece of the puzzle out of my entire technology toolbox, was what we call an expert system. So a lot like TurboTax. TurboTax, it doesn't matter if you're in Michigan or in California. It doesn't matter if you have kids or you don't. It doesn't matter if you own a house or you don't, et cetera and so on. You put in your unique attributes, you press a button, and then on a county, state, federal level, hey, Mike, this is what you need to do. This is what you owe. This is the forms you need to fill out. And for an extra fee, I'll fill it out for you and send it in for you too. It's the full service. That's the problem that TurboTax solved. The problem that we're trying to solve is very similar. I'm a drug company or I'm a pharmacy. I want to ship to patients across the US. What do I need to do? Our expert system will consume those very specific attributes. It'll ask you very specific things like, do you take possession of the drug product or are you just kind of like a prescription clearinghouse? Are you doing controlled substances? If it's a controlled substance, is Schedule 2, Schedule 3, Schedule 4, Schedule 5? Because each one of those has different requirements. If you're a Schedule 2, you need a special permit in Florida with the Board of Pharmacy. If you're a Schedule 5, you don't need the opioid permit. Prescription drug, you need a license. In some states, you don't need a license if it's an OTC drug and you're just shipping a bottle of Tylenol or whatever. And so our system will tell any pharmacy, any manufacturer, hey, this is what you need to do to be compliant in all 50 states. That's the core of our product, the expert system. The second piece of it is help me get it done. To get it done, there's applications that need to be filled out. using company information, using like a pharmacy information. I want a license in California. Okay, what is your facility? What is the corporation name? What is the corporation mailing address? Suite number, owner name, owner social security number, which PIM data, personal information data, is very tricky to for us and something that we spend a lot of time on securing. There's documents that need to be included with the application. It could be a high school transcript. It could be a background check result, which is very confidential. It could be a lease. It could be confidential or not confidential. And so the next part of it is grabbing all the applications from the World Wide Web, pulling into our system, and then getting them filled out. And for that, we use different technologies, a little bit OCR, a little bit generative AI, a little bit machine learning, a little bit just good old logic step functions. If once this, then gather these documents, pull it all in, and you can get it ready to send out. So I think that's the biggest piece. Lighthouse AI, it sounds kind of hype forward. And we were able to raise venture capital money and stuff like that. But the problem that we're trying to solve is the problem that I've been working on for 14 years. I viscerally felt the pain. We scaled the services company for 5 years. Before that, I was filling out applications by hand as an intern all the way for the next 5 years. Our first customers that we signed on for the predecessor company of Lighthouse AI called Fibers RX, I was filling out applications for customers and clients across the US. I was licking envelope. I was taking the stamp, and I was working out of a bedroom in Minnesota is where I got the start. And then I had a mailbox, and then slowly in 2017, we graduated to an office, and then we graduated to another office, and then we went remote. And now we have 60 employees. And so that's the genesis of it. And so like AI toolbox is technology toolbox. We use it all day long. Some of the other technologies that we're using right now is cloud computing. Everything is being recorded. It's going to go into the cloud. It's going to go to the transcript. You don't even notice it because somebody came and decided, hey, squadcast.fm, I'm going to go and solve this problem for people like Mike. I'm going to make this delightful for Mike by automating it and using all these different technologies, cloud computing and OCR and NLP. I'm going to automatically create transcripts. I'm going to reduce the microphone feedback with specific audio software. I don't know the mechanics of it, but, and so that's, we're like one of the first companies as far as I can see in pharmacy compliance that decided, hey, this is a really sucky, painful, complicated problem. Let me solve this with technology because nobody's ever done it before. And so that was really genesis.
The product you're offering, physically the product, is that a SaaS program that people are getting? It's basically a computer program, real similar, like you said, to TurboTax or something.
Exactly. Yeah. It's app.lighthouseai.com. You get a login. Companies are able to configure their facilities. So if it's a pharmacy based in Kentucky, I just keep picking that example. I don't know why. It's a pharmacy in Kentucky. It's going to take about probably 15 minutes to configure the specific facility. Hey, these are the products I handle. These are the activities. I do shared pharmacy services. I don't. I'm a central fill site. I'm a dispensing, non-dispensing pharmacy. I take possession of the product. I repackage. I relabel. I blah, 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 blah. I compound. I sterile compound. I non-sterile compound. You put in all these 100 plus compliance attributes. It sounds heavy, but you know, our customers know exactly what they're doing in their pharmacies and so forth. And then they press a button and then they're told within 90 seconds, hey, these are all the things I need to do. In the old days, if somebody wanted to figure that out, you would go to a law firm or you would go to a service provider like us who would charge you anywhere from $8,000 to $30,000 and it would take 2 to 4 weeks. We're able to configure your facility in about 15 minutes, 15 to 30 minutes, say, and it takes about 90 seconds of computer compute time, sometimes less, never more than 90 seconds. To deliver, hey, these are all the things you need to do in all these different states.
How do you price that then? Is it like a subscription or is it a big upfront? Because it sounds like a lot of that value is right up front.
Yeah, not quite. So there's definitely a little bit of an upfront onboarding and stuff like that, of course. But it's absolutely a subscription focus.
Because it follows all this stuff continually.
Exactly. So for two reasons, for actually, like, there's three parts to this, and I'll go through each one. The first part of it is the companies themselves are changing every single day. When we bring on an enterprise customer, like a Fortune 500 kind of company, and they have 9 operating companies and 26 operating business locations, facilities, there's change of ownership, change of DR, change of pick, change of product portfolio. They bought this company, they sold that company, they bought this asset, they sold this asset. Things are constantly changing. There's an event-driven compliance like those, as well as just other kind of changes on an ongoing basis. So companies themselves are changing, and they have to adapt to the regulatory framework accordingly. The second part of it is it's a moving target. The regulatory framework is always changing. You have stuff like new drug price transparency requirements for pharma starting. There's been 23 passed in only the last 3 or 4 years. State licenses are always changing. The opioid epidemic has been especially onerous on pharmacies and their wholesaler vendors and their manufacturer vendors and so forth. So the regulatory framework is always changing, and we keep up with that on an ongoing basis. And so when we think about value, this new concept, we invented this new concept of 24/7, 365 surveillance. There's this thing in healthcare called a never event. A never event, for example, is like a surgeon amputating the wrong arm. That should never happen. In our experience, a company should never forget about a license. A company should never forget about a report they needed to submit. A company should never get a fine or a penalty or be unable to ship to their patients because they were not compliant. And so with technology, for the first time ever, there's this 24/7, 365 component. We're always on. You can reconfigure this pharmacy says, hey, I'm going to go expand into controlled substances tomorrow. Or I've been hearing a lot about non-sterile compounding. What's it going to take for me to add this kind of line of business to do some of the terminological things? Oh, I need this specific license in here and here. I can do that. It's going to cost me an extra X amount. Let me go ahead and do that. So when we talk about value 24/7, 365, there's definitely the risk mitigation of it, which is above and beyond any cost efficiencies. But the time to market and the strategic insight can be especially valuable for pharmacies as they think about how am I going to expand my business? How am I going to change my business and so forth? Should I open a new location? Should I do XYZ? So there's that part of the value that we talk about. The risk mitigation, risk avoidance is obvious. You're in compliance more, and so that part of it's less. Pharmacies spend so long getting additional patients. The cost of getting a patient is super high. Maybe maintaining them is not so high. But if you're unable to ship their prescription because Alabama or California started requiring a pharmacist in charge license and you don't have that and you're unable to ship to that patient, you have to go refer them to another pharmacy, what's the likelihood they're going to come back? Not very high. So all that investment you made in getting this patient is all gone. And so when we think about price, we think about subscription, of course, but we also think about if you were in a position to never be not compliant again, what is that worth to you? It becomes a small, tiny fraction of total revenue instead of, hey, it cost me a couple hundred thousand dollars to maintain this compliance officer and this compliance team to stay up on all this stuff. Can you automate that for me?
I've been scanning all my personal documents for 20 years now. 21 years now. And my dad always had boxes of stuff all over papers when he ran the pharmacy. And that's just how his mind worked. But I'm like, I'm going to do that different. So my point is, I'm no schmuck when it comes to being organized. That's allowed me to do other things like this, have a little bit more freedom in my mind. Every year, though, Sumit, I say, when my taxes come, and you've got the quarterly estimates. Every year I say, I'm going to keep this front and center on Google Drive, and I'm going to do this. Michigan websites suck. I think a lot of states probably suck. Well, they're just states. They're just government-run things. But I always say I'm going to have the city, the state, and federal right there to click on in my folders, and I'm going to do this. Sure enough, though, every quarter comes by, and I'm like, how do I open this damn form from the accountant, and where's the thing for the state of Michigan? And now they're asking me to do this. Your intentions are good, but it's hard to keep up on stuff.
It's hard to keep up on stuff as the regulatory framework is changing.
It's hard for the average pharmacist. That's not their job to be right. looking at this stuff daily. And you think you're going to get it, but a quarter goes by or a year goes by or 3 years goes by. It's hard when it all adds up.
For sure. And I think that the world is changing fast, right, Mike? I think where we are now is this kind of interesting juncture where all these new technologies are coming into place. 40 years ago, or even 20 years ago, when you're scanning something, it's ending up on a computer hard drive. Now, in the last 10, 15 years, cloud storage has become a thing, and you're able to put all these documents in the cloud, in a Google Drive or Dropbox or something like that. And I think these new notions of AI and stuff like that are just going to further, it's just going to further automate and make things easier. We are leveraging some technology now and even more so in the future to make that an easier process. Today, we have about 8 full-time employees completely dedicated to keeping up with all these changes. We have attorney, we have a former regulator, the former executive director of the Utah Board of Pharmacy is on staff. We have former industry veterans, people that spent 15 years at Fortune 500 manufacturers, 10 years at one of the largest pharmacies in the US. We have these SMEs, we have these compliance experts to stay on top of all this for us. And all we're doing, Mike, is we're just feeding the system. We're just feeding the technology. So there's between our customers and us, there's this piece of technology. We have paid resources. We have free resources. We're attending board meetings. We're doing everything, right? We capture all this information. It gets pushed into the technology, and then the technology distributes that data, that information, that guidance specific to the business model, product portfolio, and jurisdictions, 100 plus compliance attributes. It's specific to that. And so it's definitely hard, but it's the concept of leverage. We're able to do what every company has historically had to do for themselves. Before Lighthouse AI existed, every single one of these pharmacies had their own compliance people trying to stay on top of it. For an independent pharmacy, is an independent pharmacy attending every single board meeting of their, of say they're based in Michigan? Are they attending every Michigan Board of Pharmacy meeting? You get a 50 state mail order pharmacy. Is that pharmacist in charge really attending all 50 state Board of Pharmacy? It's not physically, humanly possible. Instead of a one-to-one relationship, we created a many-to-many relationship. And so that's at the crux of it. How do you create value? You create leverage, you create efficiencies, 24/7, 365 surveillance, risk mitigation, strategic insight, faster and quicker are all components of creating and delivering value.
It's very much on trend, Sumeet, because I've used this example many times on this show, but we'd have our accountant and I'd have to basically try to teach them about the pharmacy, and they didn't understand it. What kind of person understands that you're selling most of your stuff for negative profit, things like that?
Yikes. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Now I've gone to something bigger, and these people are with whatever, 100 pharmacies, and they bring advice to me. Same with law firms that are more nationwide, specific to pharmacists, same as this. Mm-hmm. Because I tell you, they always say, as the owner, you don't have to do it yourself and things like that. But when some of these forms come in, I can hire someone to do it, but all that means is basically they sit right next to me and ask me a question on everything that happens. And you're like, Mike, you have to train that. It's like, how do you train someone to tell them what your history was and how names changed at the pharmacy in 1945? And have you ever been sued? I mean, there's a lot of stuff. It's a pain in the ass, those forms and the licensing, all that. So I can see the value in that. Sumeet, tell me how, with a company like yours, tell me how you feel confident that you're not going to lose all this stuff. And I'm sure you've got AWS and you've got the Google and it's inside of a 3-mile island, 1 mile deep kind of thing. Is that ever a concern for a company like yours? I don't mean a concern because I know you've got it settled, but what kind of thoughts have to go into that? Because that seems like with one switch, you could wipe out a company, basically.
Yeah. A lot of thought, a lot of resources. We actually achieved ISO certification before we ever closed. It's been a core aspect of our focus since the very beginning. I kind of mentioned earlier, too, not only is disaster recovery or data recovery, whatever, a critical component, but also just straight up security. Because we have social security numbers, we have background check information, we have incredibly personal information at our fingertips. So the answer is twofold. The first part of it, as far as disaster recovery goes and whatnot, technology can accomplish anything, and technology is only as good as you code it, as you make it. And so we just simply follow all of the best practices to the enterprise level. Cross-region duplication, for example, like if we have AWS in two different regions, if one region went down and suffered some crazy catastrophic loss, we're running both systems at the same time. One wouldn't even know that one went down because within seconds, it would just flip over. It's like that. And then we have backups. We have 6 months live backups in place. And then we have 2 years of backups in cold storage where they're not easily accessible and stuff like that. So there's a lot of thought time that we spend on this exact problem. And look, we have enterprise customers. We have Fortune 500 kind of customers. Publicly traded companies are not willing to give you your data, their data, unless you have what it takes. And they do the due diligence. We've had due diligence audits, quality audits, security audits. We do penetration testing, both internally and third party, to make sure that the security is there. There's a lot of TLC that goes into that whole function. And that really is, it's just a nod to our technology team. So our CTO is actually a former CTO, Vice President of Engineering at Citrix. He was there when it grew from $400 million to $1.2 billion in revenue, not market cap, in revenue. Wow.
I was an early Citrix guy years ago. What was it? I forget the name of it, but it was like a Google remote kind of thing, desktop sharing. That was years ago.
That might have been before my time a little bit. But yeah, he was the CTO of that from in that time period. And so when he came on board, our technology team has grown to about 25 people in the last 2 years. He joined almost exactly 2 years ago. We're coming up on his 2-year anniversary. So it's just a nod to him. He knows what the enterprise technology requirements are. He's accommodated them before. He stayed on top of what it is, and he knows best practices and so forth. We have SOPs, we have policies, and then we have the underlying technical architecture just to ensure that stuff is secure. And
it almost seems like something like, maybe you already mentioned it, there's some kind of national stamp of approval for a company that you've got a certain level of this.
There is, yeah. And that's ISO 27001 certification. Yeah. So we achieved that in, I want to say, May of 2023. We released our product in April. We got the certification in May, and then we landed our first Fortune 500 customer in June. So it was a very rapid succession because we knew the enterprise companies were going to be jumping on board quickly, because out of all of our types of customers, that's the type of customer that we solve the most pain for. And so that's what that looked like.
You mentioned earlier about, what do they call that? Hallucinations of AI. Gotta be careful. I asked AI for the history of my pharmacy or something, and I never knew it, but apparently I have a Grandpa David who had, you know, I'm just kidding. I mean, he's brought all this stuff out. AI will say, sorry, we can't do that because that's...
provide that.
We don't delve into that. You have to talk to your doctor, that kind of thing. But if it's not something like that, they'll just make it up.
That tool specifically is called generative AI or large language models. It's a type of neural network or deep learning or something like that. That is just one component over here. The tool that we used for the intelligence, the crux of our product, is all circled around an expert system, which is TurboTax, which is the 1960s app. So now, what I would say is, though, as a part of the toolbox and what problem we're trying to solve, there's absolutely a play for generative AI, for something like a ChatGPT or large language model, where we can leverage our proprietary data set. We took all of the laws out there and we created out of it software code, software logic, software databases. So we structured, in VC terms, what they would like to hear is, or a buzzword, I guess, is we structured unstructured data. And that's something that generative AI is really good at. One thing is you always need a human in the loop, which means a human is always checking to double check. They're always double checking. In the pharmacy workflow, this is very common. P1, P2, there are states that allow the first pharmacist review of a pill to be electronic with AI or whatever you want to call it. And then the second has to be a live human trained, live comma, human comma trained pharmacist. And so that concept kind of still rings true, is you have to be responsible with this new technology. It's a great power, great responsibility. AI is incredibly powerful. You just have to be responsible with it. You have to layer other types of technology. You have to specify which data sets you want to work with. And ultimately, a lot of times you have to have a human in the loop. A human in the loop is another very common term these days as it relates to generative AI. Just making sure that there's a trained human being involved in the process to double check and verify. Because again, we take compliance very seriously. It's what we do for a living, is the best way to put it. I tell the team there's a zero margin of error. Pulling that string a little bit, something like Tesla, like full driving mode. Tesla has to be, or whoever is Waymo, Tesla, or Cruise division that's doing autopilot, auto driving. They have to not only be as good as human drivers, they have to be exponentially better. A human is getting into a car crash 1 out of 2,000 rides. Computers have to do it 1 out of 10,000 because it's new technology for adoption. That's the threshold. That's probably the ROI that humans have set. Okay, it has to be 5x better for us to be willing to adopt this new technology. And that's something totally different, but definitely part of it.
I was listening to Bill Gates talking about nuclear energy, and it's going to be the way to go. And they said that it was getting real close because they've got all kinds of, I already mentioned Three Mile Island, but they've got all kinds of new stuff that's very protective. Then I think it was, I don't know, a half dozen years ago or whatever, where Japan had some accidents or something, and it set everything back. And that was just the optics of that, of people remembering that and bringing up the past and stuff. So you're right on those cars. It's got to be a lot better for people to even compare it. Sumit, Google has finally come out with a language model called Google LM, and I had been waiting for it for a while, because what that'll do is it'll take your own notes. Let's say you've got a lot of manuals in your own business, or you've got policy rules and things like that, and that'll take all that, and then that will be your source for the information. It's your own stuff versus going out to the world to do the language model. It'll just take what you have internally. It kind of sounds like you might do some of that as kind of a protection. I don't mean with Google LM, but you've got to be careful where your model's picking stuff up.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, ChatGPT came out. I think they call it ChatGPT Enterprise. I don't fully remember. The custom GPTs and stuff like that, the concept that yeah, you train models, these large language models on your own data. First, they're trained externally. So you take the current instance of Bard or ChatGPT, whatever, and then you close it off and says, okay, now that you've been trained and you know how to operate and you understand syntax and you understand if I ask you a question, you answer back. If I ask for a list, what that means. And if I say I needed 200 words and 5 bullet points, you know how to do it. And then you take that and then you, using the transformer architecture, which is the big technology breakthrough, then you focus only on your data. And so I think that's definitely a part of it. It all just comes back down to what is the problem you're trying to solve. I think there's a component of it where the pharmacies are going to ask, silly stuff. It could be silly stuff like in their policies. How often do I have to take out the trash? And it's, there's a little chatbot or something, and it says, oh, okay, according to Policy and Procedure 7, page 2, section 6, you have to take out the trash 2 times a day, once at night, and then once, you know, at midday or whatever it is. And this is your cleaning procedure and so forth. I think in the future, as things become more digital and logs start being electronic and temperature logs and security logs and even computer and inventory models and inventory reports are all online, what's going to be fascinating is a one-click audit. Tell me about all my inventory losses and inventory discrepancies up and down over the last quarter. Tell me how many times I sent a prescription order and approved a prescription order without a doctor's signature, God forbid, and read that. When's the last time I had a temperature excursion? When's the last time I bought from a vendor that hadn't gone through blah, blah, blah? How many times did I buy from a vendor that wasn't properly licensed in my state or in their own? And so, yeah, you definitely have, that's where things are going in 2 to 5 years. It's going to take a lot of time. Companies have to adopt this new digital way of life, and our future customers have to adopt these technology advancements. And then the technology itself has to be built so that an LLM or whatever can actually read the data. And so I think it's kind of crazy because the discrepancy is that, and this might be the case with something like blockchain or something, but the technology has gone so far, so fast that the implementation is taking a long time. And so, you know, there's so much holding back the implementation, like EV, electric vehicles. The technology is, Tesla has proven 80% of Americans can drive an electric vehicle, but the implementation is lacking. Why is the implementation lacking? Some people love to feel the gas engine. They want to feel the turbocharged Mustang. That Ford Mustang, they just introduced the, like a 3D kind of feel and hearing of a gas engine, but you're an electric car. It's all fake. So that's one example. And the self-charging, the supercharging is always a struggle, and they're trying to figure that out. So the technology is there. The AI technology is so far where you could do something like I just imagined, but the implementation has to catch up. Some pharmacies are still on pen and paper, or they're scanning their receiving list or their purchase list or something like that, but it's not smart. They're not mining that data. They're not able to leverage that data. And so it's the technology providers that have to figure out, okay, how am I going to implement large language models into my solution so much? And then how am I going to sell it to the customers where they're comfortable with it? One of the things that we come across every single day is these companies are like, okay, AI is great. I don't trust it. Why would I trust a system telling me what I need to do? If I'm wrong, I'm going to get fired or I'm going to get in trouble. So what we did is we implemented two things. We actually now explain, look, you need a Kansas Board of Pharmacy license. You need it because you said you take possession of the drug. You said you dispense to patients in Kansas. You said you're located in Michigan. You said you handle prescription drugs. So we have all the reasoning there. And then also how we got to that conclusion. And then we also have the regulatory framework citation based on Kansas Code Title 6, Section 4, Paragraph 3. This is the exact test. A non-resident pharmacy shall obtain a license before shipping to a patient in Kansas.
People need that.
They need it.
So, Sumit, what is the toughest thing that goes on in your mind that you might say, I'm kind of lacking this skill. I wish I was more like this so that this wouldn't be so hard.
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say as far as skills go, I started 3 years ago, pretty much to the month at least. We realized, you know, Nathan is my chief of staff. He used to be operations manager then. And he's the one that turned to me and said, Sumit, we need a system. If we're going to 2X or 3X over the next 5 years, we need some kind of system. Because at that point, we had tried everything. We had tried Excel sheets and we had tried XYZ. And he came to me and told me that. I'm like, okay, yeah, let's do it. And so that was the point where I'm like, okay, we need to build technology. I need to get out of the day-to-day was a big component of it. I was doing my accounting in the evenings every month. I was doing the red lines. I was helping with the consulting. I was solving problems. I was figuring out which documents to fill out. It was a good office disaster. So I'd been incredibly fortunate enough to have built a team around me over the last 3 years that if I'm not good at something, I just hire for it. One thing I'm notoriously bad at is I'm not really an operational details guy, but Nathan is, right? And our vice president of professional services, Mariah, really is. And she's really good with companies and so forth. So I would say so much of my position as now CEO of this 60-person company is not doing anything I'm not good at and giving that away, giving it away to a qualified, trusted resource, which I'm proud to say that my executive team of seven and everything, they really compliment me in ways I never even thought possible. So I think one thing, I guess, is the emotion I struggle with. That's to answer your skills question. Then on the emotional side, it's just this, I don't know why I have it, but it's this incredible sense of urgency. I just feel like the world is changing so fast and we got to stay on top of it. So more than anything, we're enjoying a lot of success. We've grown almost 300% last year in technology revenue, and we're bringing on customers every week, if not every day. And so that's all good. But yeah, I think I struggle with the sense of urgency the most. It's, am I moving fast enough? Am I doing enough? Because I see the vision. I see exactly where we're going to be in 2 years. And yeah, so it's struggling just with patience and the sense of urgency and wanting everything right away. Our product management, vice president product management, Adam, he loves the phase approach. Okay, you want reports in your system? Okay, we're going to do phase one. It's going to be a soft launch. We're going to use it. We're going to send it to our internal team. We're going to get feedback. Then we're going to do phase two, a light launch, and we're going to have four template reports. Phase three is custom reports. And I'm thinking like, man, can't we just skip to phase three tomorrow? And no, it's going to take 6 months to get it. So I think that's the biggest thing I struggle with. But, you know, I'm grateful for the journey.
My brother is a consultant. He owns a brand consultancy out in, he's out where you are. He's 20 miles east of San Francisco in Moraga. There's a city out there called Moraga. Okay. That's where he is. Anyway, we always joke because in consulting, you have to have all these phases. So his wife will ask him to take out the trash, and his first phase will be locating where exactly the trash is and which way to walk up to it. You know, all this kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, what's funny, Sumi, you'll read some stuff about pressure and anxiety. You'll say, don't read the news because the news just hypes you up. And I'm like, no, it doesn't. I like to read about the murders and the car crashes and the illegal stuff going on with people. But one place that I've got to be careful reading is about technology, because I kind of feel that too. I'll be sitting there some morning and all of a sudden you read about new stuff coming out. And I'm like, I got to get on this today. Someone else is going to be doing it. I do have to be careful. I love it, but I got to be careful about reading about technology, because you can feel like you're behind, even though you're one out of 1,000, you know, you're on the cutting edge more than 999 people out there.
I guess being on the cutting edge of technology and stuff like that, a lot of it is just, maybe reading about technology is probably just a lot of noise. I think what it comes down to is, what are the problems that you're actually trying to solve and making sure you solve for them? Mike, you mentioned earlier this call, like, you've done certain things to free yourself up to be able to pursue other things, to have a work-life balance, and to do all these things. You went digital first and you did all these things. There are pharmacies out there that love the tried and true method. They're on paper. They buy by calling on the phone. I need six of this and 12 of that and blah, blah, blah. And so I think definitely there's that component, which is, what are you looking to accomplish? How are you going to accomplish it? Because the fact of the matter is, like, there's technology out there in the pharmacy space that is absolutely incredible. It's like, why isn't everybody using this? There's purchasing software like Trexate or SVRX or something like SureCost or something like that automates, and SureCost even creates compliance with the big three wholesalers. And this is how much you're saving on a monthly basis. Then there's the buying part of it and the operations part of it. I think you had ShiftRx on last month, and they're trying to figure out how to automate and make it more delightful for scheduling pharmacy tech shifts and stuff like that. There's always more and more technology to come in. I think it takes a disciplined buyer. You have to stay disciplined. You have to stay on top of it. There's been some big flameouts. I think Tabula Rasa Bottom or something, but there's a company called Prescribed Wellness, and it was all the hype that, oh, we can add $30,000 of profitability per year, and this is how we're going to do it. But when you get down to implementing the product, it's not really there. The technology was getting all this hype, and it was growing so quickly that they weren't able to keep up with actually delivering value to the customer.
Yeah, you've got to look at your problem, not so much at the tool. You can look at a lot of cool tools, but if you just have to build a box, you probably have everything you need for that problem.
Yeah, if you're buying $50,000 worth of products per month, does it make sense to spend $25,000 a year on optimizing another 2 or 3 percentage points and bringing in the net profit or whatever? Maybe not, but yeah, if you're buying $1 million a month as a pharmacy and you're rocking and rolling 6 states and blah, 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 then yeah, definitely it makes sense to double click that because you're leaving money on the table. So creating discipline and vetting out the ROI, making sure that you look at customer references and stuff like that is kind of the way to go.
Sameet, thanks for joining us. Pleasure to meet you. Anytime somebody is willing to go between me and the government or me and a BBM or something like that, I'll take it. You can stand right in the firing line. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. No, thank you, Mike. Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure to be on the podcast. And I thought about things I've never really thought about as it relates to why regulations exist and all that fun stuff. I appreciate the conversation, Mike. Thank you. It was a pleasure being on.
You've been listening to the Business of Pharmacy podcast with me, your host, Mike Kelzer. Please subscribe for all future episodes.